south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, last show, I didn't quite finish off the bit about motorcycles, insurance, and other details, etc., pertaining to gringos and gringas down here. Now, of course, there are plenty of insurance companies, and you can get liability and full coverage insurance if you like. But the truth is, only about 1 out of 1,000, or maybe even 2,000, motorcycle owners have it. And by the way, included in that tiny, tiny group who are insured will be gringos and gringas like yourselves, and people who've bought their motorcycles on the payment plan, since, like I said in the last show, you can't even get on a payment plan unless part of it includes an insurance payment. So in that respect, it's just like up in the States. But take it from me, once you're down here long enough, you'll see having full coverage is stupid, and having no coverage is stupid. Now, as brainwashed as we gringos are into having insurance for everything when we lived up in the States, that means when you come down here and someone advises you not to get full coverage on your car or motorcycle or house or whatever, you don't really want to believe it at first. In fact, sometimes you get a real uneasy feeling about it. But you see, the reason why full coverage is stupid is that down here in Latin America, bodywork and mechanical repairs are so cheap compared to the first world that unless you completely total your car, you'll never come close to recouping the money you shell out for full coverage insurance. Now, speaking from personal experience myself, I've had at least a dozen fender benders, which I know makes me sound like a real crap driver, but I tell you, all but one of those times it was the other guy. And I'm not even sure I should take the blame for that one. It's just that there are so many terrible drivers down here driving unroadworthy junks with bad brakes, cracked windshields, and even missing mirrors, etc. No matter how safe your car is and how well you drive, driving is still a crapshoot. Not to mention at night, you're really taking a chance. People drive without headlights and or taillights, and often at night when people come to a stop sign or a red light, to them it means go. Now, that should give you a good idea what you're up against. In other words, fender benders and wrecks that never would have happened under the same conditions up in the States happen all the time down here. Not to mention over 95% of the population never went to driver's ed school. As a matter of fact, many people will tell you, the rules of the road are made to be broken. And that's assuming a lot because most drivers down here don't even know the rules of the road. Neither do the cops. That's why drivers always pass on a double yellow line. And they pass on dangerous curves, too. And the cops don't care. They do it, too. That means driving down here is unlike any experience you've had in the first world, believe me. Which, again, is why you don't want to own a nice, new, expensive car. So if you take my advice and do not own one of those expensive big beasts, you do not need to carry full coverage insurance. In fact, it's a waste of money. Why? Because mechanics and body shops charge about 20 to 25% of what you'd pay for the same thing up in the first world. And as it turns out, for vehicles in general, cars, trucks, or motorcycles, the only time you'll pay anywhere near first world prices to get repair or body work done is if you're driving a brand new or very light new vehicle and aftermarket replacement parts aren't available yet. Meaning, for example, if you're driving a 2013 or 2014 Toyota and you get one of your taillight assemblies fractured or busted, you know, the big plastic red lens and the bulbs, etc., which, believe me, is quite common down here. It happens in parking lots all the time, especially when you're not there. And, of course, when you get back and see your damaged car, no one around ever saw it, including the guard who's supposed to be watching the parking lot. But that's another story. Anyway, then your mechanic or body man will have to order the replacement part directly from a Toyota dealership and you'll pay first world prices for that. However, if you have a taillight busted out of a 2010 or 2011 Toyota, there will be a variety of aftermarket shops where you can buy replacement parts for a quarter to a third of the dealer price. And you know, it's easy to prove that point. All you have to do is go to a Toyota dealership down here in Latin America. I don't know what it's like up there for you, but anyway, just go in and buy an original replacement part, oil or air filter for your car, and you'll find you'll pay about 4 times as much as you'll pay for the same or similar part from one of those hole-in-the-wall part supply stores down the street. And, like I mentioned in a show about a half year ago, when you go to one of these hole-in-the-wall part shops, believe it or not, 90% of the time, if you ask them, they'll be more than glad to install the light bulbs or battery or windshield wipers, as well as plastic headlight lens covers, etc. Sometimes even front and rear brake pads, as long as you bought them there, no extra charge. Now, I guess you could say that's part of your gringo advantage. Because, like I've said so many times, when off the gringo tourist trail, you're likely the very first gringo the owner of that shop or the guy behind the counter ever spoke to live and in person. That's why they're ever so sincere and polite and nice to us. That, as opposed to when you're on the gringo tourist trail, like in Costa Rica, where often the fake smile and the insincerity is obvious. Like that old Motown song says, they smile in your face and all the time they want to take your place. Remember that song, The Backstabbers? Am I dating myself or what? But now let me finish up on that motorcycle subject. A couple of emails came in from first world ladies, who I assume are bikers up in the States, who were wondering if it's worth it for a woman to drive a motorcycle down here. Well, I can tell you it's certainly worth it in one respect, because you can weave in and out of traffic and break all the traffic laws you want. Why not? Everyone else does. Note, if you do come down here and plan on following the rules of the road like a good little gringo, you will be an oddball. If you have a bike, it's the wide open Wild Wild West. Just come down and see for yourself. But note, it's also not safe to drive a motorcycle down here in a medium-sized to large city. Why? Because to car and truck drivers, it's the Wild Wild West too. And know this, pedestrians do not have the right of way. It's he who sticks his nose out first in an intersection. He's the guy with the right of way. Which is why you see two or three motorcycle wrecks a week if you're ever in the big city driving around. In fact, I myself have collided with two motorcycles in my day. Or I should say they collided with me because they don't know the rules and they don't obey them if they do, and they drive like maniacs. And that's not to mention the four or five times that motorcycles have scraped the side of my car or damaged or wrecked my outside mirrors while weaving through tight spaces and bottlenecks and traffic jams without giving a damn at all who they scratch because their bikes are such pieces of crap. I mean, come on, who's going to notice another scrape or dent in their rusted out pieces of junk? And note, in those bottlenecks, by the time you've figured out you've had your car scratched or damaged, they're already two blocks ahead scratching some other guy's car. So let me warn you, if you're down here long enough and you drive a car, you will get into an accident with a motorcyclist. And then the question always is, should you stop and wait for the cops and all that? Like a good little first world gringo? Well, if you do, prepare to lose about 2 days of your life screwing around with cops and lawyers and paperwork. And be prepared for the fact that he won't have insurance. And be prepared for the fact that if you kill the guy or put him in the hospital, even if it's 100% his fault, and it probably will be, the cops will take your car for a while. That is, they'll put it in a police lockup. Where, by the way, it definitely will not be safe, and you just might not have tires or a battery when you go to pick it up. But that's a whole other story. Now, if you have a good lawyer and he's on the spot right away, you'll instantly have the advantage, since there's about a 95% chance the guy or gal you got into the accident with won't have insurance and won't have a lawyer. And believe me, if you get into an accident, that's the very first person you want to call. Which is why you definitely have to hook up with a good lawyer once you get down here. And I mean right away. And just as an aside here, and not really as a plug, but that's one of the great advantages of coming down to one of my expat wisdom seminars. Because you see, one of the star presenters at the seminar is a lawyer and university law school professor who I've known over 18 years. And once I hook you up with him or his father, who's also at the law firm, you'll be in very good hands. But remember, you have to come down to one of my seminars to take advantage of that, because guess what? It took me a good 5 years of stumbling around in Latin America, going through three or four bad and mediocre lawyers, until I found him and his dad. So remember that. That's why I say when you come down to one of my seminars, you really do get about a 5-year head start on any other gringo that's coming down here on his own, looking to become an expat without the benefit of all that experience. So again, if you get into an accident and you decide to stick around, and I'll explain what I mean by that later, the first thing you do is you call your lawyer. And that next call is going to be to your insurance company. And they will get there fast, probably within 10 or 15 minutes. So anyway, if your lawyer gets to the scene right away, and the cops want to impound your car, which they might, having him present to negotiate for you can make all the difference whether it gets impounded or not. But if you don't have a lawyer, or you have a bad one, or you try to negotiate yourself, your car could be sitting in a police lockup for a month. And I know, I've seen it happen. It happened to expat Eddie. Which is, by the way, why you always want to carry third-party liability insurance on your car, and if you're nuts enough to drive a motorcycle yourself, on your bike. And by the way, third-party liability insurance down here in Latin America is not going to set you back any more than $150 a year, probably more like $100. And that's no matter if you drive a tiny little Fiat or a gigantic Range Rover. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not recommending when you eventually do hit that motorcyclist, and you will if you're down here long enough. I'm not recommending you pull a hit and run. Though almost every lawyer I know will tell you, off the record, that you should get the hell out of there. In other words, don't stop, just keep going. In a hurry. And by the way, they'll also tell you to get the hell out as fast as you can if you hit a pedestrian too. Now, I'm not saying 100% of lawyers will tell you that, but I've been at enough parties talking and schmoozing with lawyers to find out that nearly every one of them will have that suggestion. So again, I'm just telling you what it's really like to live down here in Latin America. I mean, that's what I've always done, right? I like to think of this half hour as a no BS zone. I'm not going to pull any punches. I know plenty of gringos, upscale gringos, people with tons of money who've done that hit and run thing. And as for Latins, well, they do it all the time, especially Latins that don't have insurance and the ones that have their cars or vehicles in their own name. And by the way, that's why Latin lawyers will always recommend that if you buy a car or a house or a motorcycle, whatever, a boat, you don't keep it in your name. You put it in an SA corporation. That way, if you do get into a bad car accident and you kill someone, the other party's lawyer, the dead party or his family, will check the records and find the driver of the vehicle does not own anything personally. It's all in corporations, so oftentimes there'll be no lawsuit at all. It just won't be worth it for anyone to file. Oh, and by the way, if you happen to know any insurance brokers down here and you ask them who are the other types of folks who often hit and run, you'll find it's the scumbag politicians in their big bulletproof SUVs. Why? Because they can get away with it. They almost always do. However, like I mentioned in a past show, maybe a year and a half ago, when a gringo gets involved in a severe accident like that, even if you hit and kill a lowly pedestrian with only a machete to his name, knowing a gringo is involved, everyone will think there's a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. Even if dead Uncle Julio was the town drunk, a wife-beaten family dirtbag, a subhuman snake that everyone in the family in the neighborhood wanted to off themselves, well, if a gringo's involved, the family will find a sleazebag lawyer and go after you. Unless, of course, you've got everything in an SA corporation. Again, stuff we talk a lot about at the seminar. Another good reason to come down and check it out. So then, you might wonder, what about cameras and smartphones and witnesses and such? Well, I've heard from more than one lawyer that the chances of you getting caught on a camera or someone jotting your plate down is practically zero because, you know, this is Latin America. And except in a very few places like the bigger cities in Costa Rica, Panama, Chile, and Argentina, the Big Brother surveillance state is only an idea. It's far from being reality, if it ever will be. But do know that if you're carrying that liability insurance and you hit someone or a motorcycle or a car, by all means, stop. Call your lawyer, then call the insurance company's hotline number. Wait for them to come, and the cops will come too, of course, and let the insurance adjuster handle the whole thing. So then, what about what I just said about lawyers? How they recommend, under certain conditions, to just hit and run? Well, it's not me that recommends that. I'm just telling you that certain lawyers do. So, what do I recommend? Insurance, of course. Then you can do things on the up and up. And you know, the crazy thing is that insurance is mandatory in practically every Latin country. However, almost no one enforces that. Duh. How do you think 95% of the drivers get away with not having it? Which kind of shows you how effective the Big Brother state is down here now, doesn't it? I repeat, duh. And remember, because you're a client of the insurance company, the adjuster is going to be 1,000% on your side. And believe me, he knows about reckless, law-breaking motorcyclists, and so do cops. So anyway, what you do is you keep your mouth shut, wait for the insurance adjuster to arrive, and then wait for your lawyer to arrive. At that point, you have a little powwow with just you and your lawyer. Then your lawyer will have a little powwow with the insurance adjuster. Then let those two guys handle the situation with the cops and the guy that hit you or you hit. And believe it or not, most of the accidents down here are small fender benders, and those usually end up as a matter of passing some dough back and forth. Even, believe it or not, in front of the cops. Because you see, when that happens, the cops being intrinsically lazy, I take that back, intrinsically super lazy, or more to the point, brain-dead slugs with a 6th to an 8th grade education. Maybe. And by the way, no four-letter expletives today, folks, to better describe cops or scumbag politicians either. Kitties may be listening. Though, you know, shithead would suffice, but that's a compound four-letter word now, isn't it? I guess we'll have to settle for slug. Oh well. Anyway, like I said, probably half the fender benders in Latin America are solved with a cash payment. That way, if a cash deal will settle the whole thing, the cops won't have to write up a report or file it at all. Someone pays and everyone's happy. Or as happy as you can be after you've ruined your day because of an accident, I guess. So again, in no way am I endorsing the hit-and-run thing, but I will tell you, under certain conditions, a lot of gringos and expats do it, because that's what their lawyer has secretly recommended. Now, one more thing about car accidents. Since, like I said, about 95% of people do not have car insurance, that means Latin America is a land of hit-and-runs. So don't be surprised if someday a guy with a beater smacks into you and just keeps on going. Because remember, it's in his best interest to keep on going because he doesn't have insurance. And because the law says you have to have insurance, if he stops and you make a big point of that and you call your insurance company, you could have that guy in a lot of trouble. At least they'll take his car away for good. I mean, his garbagey piece of shit. Sorry about that, but slug just doesn't work there. Anyway, if you press the no insurance angle, the cops will take it away for good, which in most cases is probably the only thing of value he really owns, even if it's only worth $300. So what do you do in that case? Usually nothing. You grin and bear it, and you thank your lucky stars you're in Latin America, where you can get excellent bodywork done for peanuts. Or you do like a lot of long-term gringos do, and you just don't get it fixed at all. You let the bumps and nicks and scratches accumulate for a year or two, and then you get it all done at once. So anyway, as to that question, should first world gringos come down here and buy motorcycles and drive them? Well, all you have to do is come down here to Latin America, and you'll notice in the medium and large-sized cities anyway, you almost never see women driving motorcycles, but you'll see them as passengers, and sometimes passengers with one or two clinging kids, too. Yep, four on a rice burner, you see it all the time. However, in smaller towns and in towns and cities, both on and off the gringo tourist trail, you don't see women driving motorcycles much, but you do see them driving scooters. It seems like it's the fashion and the cool thing to do for adolescent girls and young adult ladies, especially and almost exclusively young ladies of the wealthier Latin families in town. And funny enough, if you're hanging around a small town of, let's say, 5 or 10,000 for any length of time, soon enough, you'll get to recognize those lucky entitled children of the so-called rich local Latin families. You'll see those 10 or 15 kids regularly whipping through town, basically just to show the lesser folks they can afford a scooter and the gas to idly show off like that. Again, this is Latin America, so it's all about class, status, and showing off. While all the other kids in town who are on foot just dream of the day they'll get to ride on the back of one of those things. But they almost never get that chance since they're not in the same social class. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about the kids of the mega wealthy. There aren't really any mega wealthy in these small towns of 4,000 or more. More likely, they're just the spoiled kids of the owners of the local hardware store, hotel, or kids of the bank manager. Because, you see, in small towns, owners of small businesses like that are considered by the locals to be high class. I know. To us it sounds a bit ridiculous, but if you visit one of those small towns for any length of time, you'll see how provincial they can be. And at the risk of sounding like a provincial snot-nosed jerk myself, remember, I'm just telling it like it is. Now, you might remember your old grandma or grandpa from Idaho mentioning that they never got to the big city until they were 20 years old. Well, you know, that doesn't happen anymore up in the States, but down here in Latin America, that's still basically the way it is in these small towns. Many hundreds, if not thousands, of small towns out in the boonies are like little islands to themselves, kind of like Mayberry or Smallville. So what does that mean for gringos and expats? Well, if you feel like being king of the mountain and the only gringo in town, there are just tons of places like that to settle. And though, believe me, it can be a very good life for a gringo, know that you'll always be in a fishbowl. You're really going to stand out. But if you're a nice guy or gal and treat people right, you will be a superstar, believe me. Or you can be a super jerk. Your choice. Boy, did I digress. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So as far as first world ladies coming down here and buying a motorcycle, sure, that could be workable. Though in all my years down here, I haven't seen or heard of a gringa who's actually bought a motorcycle yet. I said motorcycle, not scooter. However, one of my gringo friends who owned a part of a Harley dealership down here, he did at one time think he was doing his Peruvian wife a big favor by giving her the excellent gift of a brand new 900cc Harley Sportster. Well, in the end, that didn't turn out so well. She was afraid to drive it. When it was idling and stationary, she could barely balance the thing. She couldn't ride it, but believe me, she looked great on it. In fact, she even ended up as a poster girl at the Harley dealership. False advertising, yes, but effective. She didn't like the bike, but she loved the accessories. All she really wanted to do was to load herself up with all that cool chrome and leather Harley clothing junk. She wanted to look like an upscale Harley chick, and she did, without ever actually having to ride a hog. And you know, I don't blame her. And in the end, when her gringo husband sold it, it only had about 500 kilometers on it. But then again, she wasn't a gringa, she was a Peruvian. So he ended up giving her a late model SUV, which was the beginning of the end of their relationship. He made that fatal mistake that so many gringos make when they come down here and hook up with a nice, beautiful Latin girl with a good heart. He created a high-maintenance gringo wannabe monster. And believe me, that's easy to do. I've seen it 100 times. Same thing that happened to expat Eddie, but that's another story that I'll get to sooner or later, I guess. Now, it's funny how you almost never see that in reverse. In other words, a first-world gringo lady coming down and hooking up romantically or otherwise on a long-term or even permanent basis, as in marriage-wise, with a poor, middle-class, or broke Latin guy. Sure, I've seen many gringas with handsome young Latin guys, but they're almost always in the money. You know, wealthy sugar, cement, or coffee plantation families. Now, from what I've seen with all my years down here, gringas that come down here permanently almost always hook up with much wealthier guys. Why? Because they can. Now, let me qualify that by saying that's the way it happens mostly off the gringo tourist trail. However, when you're on the heavy gringo tourist trail like in Costa Rica, you do see some gringa girls come down and hook up with lower middle class Latin boys. In fact, that seems to be the underlying mission for a lot of those vacations. It's true, a lot of gringas on vacation are looking for those buff Antonio Banderas clones. Just for a quick Latin lover fling, you know. Not present day Antonio Banderas, he looks pretty washed out these days. I'm talking about as he looked 25 years ago, when all the girls went gaga over him. Remember that? Believe me, places like Costa Rica, Cancun, Playa del Carmen, etc. are just full of good-looking Latin beach bums like that. And yes, they're out trolling for gringas, all right. And believe me, they'd like nothing better. In fact, it's their mission, too, to get one of them pregnant. How do I know that? Because I've met some of those guys. I lived in those places, and when you get to know them a little bit, they'll come right out and tell you. Hell, they'll admit it even if they hardly know you at all. I'm talking about the guys, that is, not the girls. Now, I've seen it when gringas come down on vacation and have those buff Latin boy beach bum flings. And then, believe me, they usually end up regretting it forever. Because those guys hanging around the beaches aren't stupid. They get your phone number, your Facebook, your address up in the States, the names of your mom and dad and your brothers and sisters and any other stuff they can get out of you. All in friendly conversation, of course. No pressure, no coercion. But people do give that stuff up in a second. Look at Facebook. And worse yet, a good percentage of those gringas, once they get back home up in Cleveland, they end up sending wire transfers to the guy via Western Union. You know, because the poor guy's living in a tin shack with his mother and four sisters and all that. Well, the fact is, I've met some of these guys, and some of them have a stable of a half dozen gringas, sending them Western Union transfers from the U.S. each month. For them, it's a way of life. And their mission, because they rarely can impregnate a girl, that doesn't happen much these days. Most gringas are much smarter than that. Anyway, in lieu of that, their secondary mission is to get a sponsored passage, i.e. green card, up to the good old USA. And these guys are very persistent, and it's hard to get rid of them. And how do I know that? I know a few girls that it's happened to. So, all you gringa expat wannabes and gonna-bes up there, I'm not trying to tell you what to do here, but like my old grandmother used to say, it's just as easy to fall in love with a rich guy than a poor guy. And believe me, when you're down here in Latin America, you don't want to entangle yourself with a poor guy. And remember what I've said so many times before. A middle class or lower middle class Latin guy is only making about 300 to maybe 600 or 700 bucks a month, way below the poverty line up in the States. So unless you feel like supporting him and his extended family, I suggest you be very careful about who you hook up with romantically. And I know that's not anything that we all have too much control over, but also remember that being a gringa when you come down here, you're automatically queen of the mountain and every Latin guy wants to hook up with you, including all the wealthy ones too. So just add 2 points to your 10-point score and that's how all the Latins will view you down here. On second thought, I don't know what business I have giving anybody romantic advice, but I'm only really saying this because I've seen the trouble a lot of gringos and gringas have gotten themselves into and not being particularly cautious about who they choose to hang with, romantically or otherwise. So anyway, all you gringas out there who are thinking about coming down and buying a motorcycle, if you do, you'll certainly get a ton of attention, and that's not exactly what you want when you come down here to Latin America. You'll have more attention than you can handle by just being a gringa. Now, I must say, I do know a couple of gringa ladies who drive scooters. And I don't recommend you drive a cycle or a scooter in any medium to large-sized city. But if you're in a small town, let's say under 20,000 people, it could be absolutely the way to go. In that case, as long as you stay in town and don't take it out on the highway, I highly recommend it. Except during the rainy season.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos.
She was a picture.